Looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change? Wishing you could keep the faith? Longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Welcome back to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan with my crazy cool producer, Barbara Perry.
Hello, hello.
Hello, darling. Well done on the tunage.
The tunage.
Well
Did
done.
It take you right up to heaven?
Oh, absolutely.
Mr. Greenbaum.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness sakes. So, howdy, everybody. Hope everybody had a great week. So happy day after Valentine's Day. Hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day. Happy President's Day. And for all you tigers out there, it's the beginning of your year. How exciting is that? Everything got crammed into this weekend. So want to talk a little bit before we get into the subject du jour about some local events. Sunday, February 21st, I'm teaching one of my favorite classes called Can You Believe It? And that is all about the law of attraction versus the human psyche. And doing that up at Salon Rouge in Le Conner, Washington. Salon Rouge is an amazing place. Le Conner is an amazing place. So it's actually kind of a fun day to go on up there and have some lunch at Seeds, the cool bistro right next door, and do a little shopping and come on in for the class. Class starts at 1 o'clock. It's a 3-hour gig. Pre-registration is required. Call the salon at 360-466-4247. And that class, again, is all about how the human psyche gets in the way of the law of attraction, ask, believe, and receive, and ways that you can work with different techniques to get out of the way of the law of attraction. So that's a fun one. And then my Living on a Prayer workshop series, really an amazing 4-part class, 2 opportunities to experience that starting in March. We got a set up for 4 Wednesdays at night starting March 3rd through the 31st, or you can do 2 Saturday intensives. Those are all day gigs, March 13th and 27th. That's at my studio in Snohomish, Washington. If you're looking to get, you know, more out of your spiritual life, want a deeper connection to God, and to turbocharge your manifestation abilities, that workshop is a ton of fun. And what's really cool about it is you get to experience group prayer, which is pretty amazing. So that one also needs pre-registration. Call my office at 425-397-7559, or you can pop on my website, michellemorgan.org, and register that way. If you're enjoying this show, which I hope you are, because I'm having a blast, spread the word for me. Would love it. Let other people know about it. And you can access the archives of this show on iTunes. And now on my site through FeedBurner, you can jump on michellemorgan.org. And on the media page, there's a link that you can click on and you can get all the past shows. And I also want to invite you to hook up with me on my Facebook fan page. And yes, boys and girls, on Twitter. You know, I was real jazzed about Twitter at first and started doing that every day, and then I kind of got slacking about that, so I have to get on the shtick about the Twitter thing. It's tons of fun, but gosh, you know, you got to think about it. I sometimes have a little hard time with that. Anyway, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from the people listening to the show. I've been getting some great emails, great feedback. If there's any topics you'd like me to cover, I would love to hear from you and you know, toss me a bone and we'll run with it. So I really appreciate the support. I want to give a little shout out to Amla. She sent me an email and I gave almost some prayers to do, and I'm hoping they're working. So anyway, just want to really say thanks to that listener and to my favorite tiger, Mark. It's your year, baby. And to another one of my favorite tigers, Mickey. It's your year, too. And I'm going to keep my eyes on you, kid. So anyway, all right. Shall we jump on into today's topic? So this is the month of love. We've established that from the get-go. We're only halfway through the month, and it's just love everywhere. Right, Barb? Are you in the love over there, girl? You feeling the love, are you?
I am feeling the love.
Good girl. So today, we're going to talk about what I absolutely believe is the most important love affair any of us will ever have, and that is the one that we choose to have with God. And so today's show is really just about a perspective and an emotional experience of God. Our willingness to be intimate with God is a really powerful indication of our willingness to be intimate with people and vice versa. It's an amazing barometer to see how you are as far as opening your heart in the world. How you are with God is how you are with the folks on the planet. The connection to God is the greatest longing in the human heart. Doesn't matter if somebody doesn't even believe in God or adamantly refuses to believe in God. We're all hardwired for that connection. And the greatest longing is to be connected to God. And you know what the greatest fear is? That we're not worthy of the connection. That's the dichotomy. Most important and vital connection we can ever experience, and as a result, is the most potentially loaded, which is why, you know, they tell you when you get in a relationship, you don't talk politics and you don't talk religion. Or the old fashioned paradigm is you agree with the father in politics and the mother in religion. That was one of the secrets of successfully courting a mate. Okay, well, we're not even going to go there today. So here's the deal. I'm not saying that anybody's doing anything wrong with how they believe in God. I'm just going to offer some other ways of looking at and connecting with God. And I just want to invite y'all to consider these ideas, enrich what you're already doing, or you can listen to what I'm saying and just go, yeah, whatever, and get on with your life. So there you go. I'm really curious, how many of you are dissatisfied with your current connection with God? How many of you are happy with it but want to go deeper? How many of you are recovering from some religion? How many of you think you're failing at your spiritual process? And here's a big one. I'm always curious about this one. How many of you don't use the name God, and how come you don't? So I want to hear from you. I want you to call, and I'm remembering the number. Are you proud of me, Barb? I'm remembering to give the number out. Here we go. The number to call, 877-230-3062. Again, 877-230-3062. If you haven't answered any of those questions I just asked or a comment about this week's subject, please give me a call. Guarantee a whole lot of other listeners will definitely benefit from our discussion. And the phone lines are open now. So, ringy dingy. All right. The word God. Boy, that's a charged word. Here's the deal. There's a specific vibration to the word God, as there is in the terminology I am and the name Jesus Christ. Cathedrals and temples were created with massive ceilings to take advantage of the acoustical vibration created by chanting and singing God's name. The ancients knew the secrets of vibration, and they knew the power of names. And it's interesting because the name God, Jesus, Mary, Anna, there's a number of biblical names that have versions of those names found the world over, predating Christianity by thousands of years. We're not talking Christianity here. We're talking spiritual technology, the power of vibrational sound. And there were places and there were periods of history where that vibration was utilized very consciously to amazing ends. According to the best efforts of linguists and researchers, the root of the present word God is actually a Sanskrit word, which means to call upon, to invoke, or implore. And it's the oldest name for the masculine deity used by all religions. That's the other thing. All religions use the terminology God. As a result, God is imprinted in our psyches more powerfully than really any other title. And y'all have heard me talk about this before in past shows. I'm going to talk about it again. The human psyche is wired with a need to identify with something in order to have an emotional connection. Also, in order to feel safe. That's the primal instinct of the survival technique. You have to know what you're dealing with in order to know what you need to do to be safe in any situation. So identification is crucial. That's why we have titles. That's why we have diagnoses. That's why we have labels. The human psyche is longing to make sense of the world around us in order to fit in. So the word God evokes pretty much the clearest, strongest identity, whether that's positive or negative, with the divine or the almighty, etc. So the first thing that I do when I'm teaching this stuff is I really invite people to check their motives for not using the word God or for using the word God. If you're doing anything out of fear or resistance, either side, you know, if you're calling God God because you're scared to call him anything else, or you're refusing to call him God because, again, you're recovering from some, you know, nasty experience with religion, then the bottom line is you're in fear and it's not in your highest and best good. That's an away from motivation as opposed to a towards motivation. If you truly feel you can connect emotionally and intimately with spirit or the universe or the all or the creator, some other terms that are used, then, and there's nothing in you that's actually avoiding the name God, then go for it. Absolutely go for it. If not, I invite you to experiment. Like, seriously, give it a week or two. Try calling God God and see what starts to happen. And then, you know, have a chance to heal a fear and negativity that comes up, because that's all most people's resistance is. It's a word, and it's a vibrational power word. I think that's worth playing with. I really do. And another thing that gets in the way is the human pendulum swings between religion and New Age thought. And we're going to talk right now about sort of the challenges of those two influences. So religions affected our relationship with God, Judeo-Christian theosophy in particular. There's an actual term to describe the demographic of people who are dissatisfied with organized religion, and that term is the formerly churched. These are people who are leaving their organized religions, their churches, in droves. I mean, the percentages are pretty astonishing. And one of the greatest arguments that the formerly churched have is that they feel dissatisfied with the personal connection to God in their churches. And some of the other arguments that I've heard from people are that, you know, organized religion has all these rules and regulations, there's all these limitations, there's all this judgment, and there's tons of contradiction. If God is truly merciful, why do horrible things happen? And if God is truly omnipotent and all-powerful, then how can Satan get away with so much? You know, how does that work? And one of the other things that I've always had a little bit of an issue with in some of the more hardcore Christian ideals is this idea that you're not worthy of God's love, that you were born unworthy, and that, or you have to jump through a whole crap ton of hoops to try and prove that you're worthy. And even then, you're probably not going to make it. So another thing that people really have an issue with is the word sin. That's such a great word, isn't it? So here's a little education for y'all. Here's the true definition of the word sin. An impaired state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God. In other words, sin is fear. And it's really important to understand that the Bible is an amazing, amazing book. It's an absolute power manual. If it is interpreted metaphorically and symbolically. And so you also have to remember that first of all, the Bible was written some 500 years after the death of Christ. That's quite a time span to have those documents rewritten and compiled into a book. And theologians have talked about this for years, that one of the challenges was in the translation of those original books, that the people who were writing them out and translating them had a language issue, because the old Aramaic and some of the other languages that the original chapters of the Bible were written in were no longer spoken. And so a lot of the translation got really skewed. And then, of course, a little bit later on, one of the biggest challenges was there was, at one point in history, there was nearly 100 versions of the Bible circulating, different versions. And those Bibles were written and reinterpreted by the people who were in power at the time. Pope Innocent III was a real interesting man who... I'm choosing my words real carefully here, Barb. Back in approximately the 12th to 13th century, I believe, somewhere in there. Anyway, one of the versions that he had put out there was one that had an entire chapter on the fact that women were subhuman. Women had no souls and therefore were to be treated as subhuman. So, you know, we got a little bit of a problem with some of that stuff. And the real sad thing is that it's attached to the idea of Christianity, you know, and that just makes me sad, because as in everything, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about, you know, feminism, the original ideas behind these things, the original intention behind these isms, was fantastic. And, you know, human beings have a way of translating and twisting and making things into power plays, and that's where things get all problematic. So this idea that in Christianity we're born sinners and God is our salvation, here's a little twist on that I think is a really nice way to start to look at that. We're born human. God created us like this, with natural human fear. That's the human psyche, and that's the survival instincts. And God is our strength. God is the one who saves us from our own human fears. He can elevate us above the fear and help us operate in the law of grace rather than the law of karma. And, of course, you know, who's the figurehead of Christianity who gets all the bum rap and all the blind adulation? It's Jesus. And the idea that Jesus died on the cross to free us from our sin. Let me give you a little twist on that, if I may. Jesus proved that the single greatest human fear, death, is really nothing at all. So he took away our fears through transcending death. He freed us from sin or fear. A lot of people struggle, and I do too, with, you know, the quote-unquote Bible thumpers who parrot what the church or religion says, and they do it in such a way where they're sort of shoving it down your throat. And here's what I find troubling about that. First of all, the people that are parroting are the people that are using scripture and Jesus as sort of their tool, if you will. They're not really emotionally connected a lot of the times to what they're saying, or they're connected out of fear. They're in fact needing to validate their own beliefs by getting everybody around them to believe the same thing. And there we go again with the whole survival instinct pack mentality gig. So, and the worst part about that is that, so those people are disconnected from an emotional exploration of what they're talking about. And the people who are rebelling against that, or who are resisting that, are immediately putting their own spin on why they don't want to explore that whole idea of Jesus and Christianity. So it really creates this weird schism between these two factions who are, in fact, in the exact same place. Everybody's just in this big, fat, freaking valley of resistance. And it's too bad, because, you know, there's some great stuff. There's some great stepping stones in any of the religions to help us make sense out of something that doesn't make sense to the human. That's what's so powerful about it. Prayer is another thing. People a lot of times give up on God or faith because they think their prayers haven't been answered the way they want them to be. And the truth is, God doesn't always take away the pain or the problems. Most of the time, he gives us the strength to endure what we're experiencing so that we can learn and grow from it. And that's a tough one for most people to swallow, because there's this misconception that there's a great quote, and I can't think of the woman's name right now, but she says something to the effect of, you know, when she first started praying, it was like she'd put the penny in the God slot and expect to get a gumball every time. I love that analogy. We all do that. We all shove that penny in there and want the gumball. And sometimes it's not what we're going to get. Sometimes we get an opportunity to grow and learn, and that can be a tough one to take. So we don't need to pray to earn God's love. We need to pray to open up to receive it. We've already talked about that. And prayer is a real personal connection with God, and so you have to start to understand who God is in order to have that personal connection. So we are going to take a little bit of a break. Again, I encourage you to hop on the phone and give me a holler, 877-230-3062. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the New Age and how it has affected our idea of God. And we've got a caller on the line. We'll be talking to them. And then we're going to also talk about the energetic polarity qualities of God. So stick around. We're going to have some fun. Come on back to me. This is Michelle Morgan, Living on a Prayer.
There's a lady who shows all it glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for. She's buying a stairway.
Dissatisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
If you've got a question for Michelle, give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would knows what I'd be without you.
And we're live again. Boy, I'm telling you what, the whole Zeppelin thing. Wow. Holy Christmas.
Awesome. Doesn't that bring back memories?
Oh, I can't even begin to tell you. Dances. Dances in the high school gym.
Yes.
You know, I'm telling you what, in the, oh.
And it's always it was a Led Zeppelin cover band.
Of course it was. Absolutely. And they did not do a particularly good job.
This is true.
But it didn't matter.
No. Nope.
Because that song will go down
in history.
In history as probably the coolest song. Amen. All right, we're back. So we have Pat on the line. Pat, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Michelle.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay.
Good.
This is off your topic. I don't know if you can take my call or not. I wanted to ask if you have any insight on my mom's health for this year, about how it's going to unfold.
Okay. So actually, this is kind of interesting. So we can bring this back to the topic.
Okay, great.
We can actually bring this back to the topic. So talk to me, just give me a little bit of information about what's going on with your mom's health.
Okay. Okay. Well, she's 96.
Okay.
And she seems to be okay, but, you know, obviously I just wanted to know how well she'll continue to be and if there are going to be changes I need to look out for.
Okay. And so talk to me a little bit, because here's the thing. What you're calling about really is, it's about you, right? I mean, it's about how you need to handle this situation. This is that's a really an emotional situation.
Yes, you know? It is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so talk to me a little bit about how your relationship with God is right now.
Well, I always feel guided and directed, and I do pray for that, and I do receive it.
Good.
And I continue to do that, and to what I'm working on very strongly now for myself mm-hmm. is self-love, self-trust, and self-confidence.
You bet.
Because I know that will connect me more with the love that I'm made of
mm-hmm.
and connect me more with the spirit that I am.
Absolutely.
And I said to, coming out of a prayer recently, that my name is Spirit.
Nice.
That's really who I am, no matter what my earthly name is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm building myself in that way because it does give me a lot of strength.
You bet. You bet. And that's interesting, too, hon, because that's actually what we're going to be talking about here in a little bit, too, is the fact that one of the challenges of the New Age idea of us being God. Not that that's wrong, because we are God. We are absolutely created energetically. We are a piece of God, no question about it. But mm-hmm. the human psyche needs, at the end of the day, somebody bigger and stronger and smarter and more magical than us to kind of hand over our burdens to.
Yes.
You know, and so that, it sounds like you've got a great combination of, you know, you are entreating God, you're asking for guidance, you're asking for help and love, and then you're also connecting yourself to that channel that you are for God's love. That's the perfect combination. That's really
yes.
the perfect combination.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your mom's spiritual belief? Is she got good?
Well, she I think she does still tend to believe in spirit. I mean, she jokes around sometimes, and you know, and she'll say, "I'm not going anywhere. Where am I gonna go when I die? I die."
Right.
And then she'll say, "Well, I believe in spirit." You know, she always believed in that,
sure.
Not the dogma and the ritual and any
right.
of that nonsense.
Right, right. So, and the cool thing about that is that's, you know, your mom is believing from a really instinctual, intrinsic place. You know,
we all,
that's the whole spiritual beings having a human experience. She obviously, on that very deep level, understands that she's going home. You know, and it's okay to doubt that on a human level, you know,
yes.
It's absolutely all right. So, what's your mom astrologically?
She's a Leo.
Okay. And what are you?
Scorpio.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's interesting because when I'm looking at your mom this year, tell me what went on just prior to the holidays. It feels like there was a little bit of a challenge or something that changed somehow with her health right before Thanksgiving?
No, there was nothing this past Thanksgiving. The year before there was.
Okay. Was there a decision or something that you felt like you needed to make before the holidays about it?
Not this past holiday, no. The year before was what really changed everything for her when she fell and broke her hip.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was the big mess, and okay. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, and then I took her home, and we had a bunch of strange circumstances in which she lost her apartment.
Oh, wow.
So that's why we're in the same dwelling now for almost a year.
Okay. And that's, it's interesting, because that's very much about the harvest cycle, and so it feels to me like... what I'm hearing from the guides is that energetically there's been a shift that started right around, I want to say, towards the middle part of November of this last year.
Okay.
moving on into the spring of this year. So the next 6 weeks or so, there's some
yeah.
kind of pivotal I want to say it's a decision, and that may sound like a really intense word, like you have to, you know, come up with some black and white answer, but it's more about coming to a conclusion about something and then having a direction that becomes clearer.
Oh, you mean concerning her?
Yes, concerning her.
Okay.
And I'm picking up two different doctors. Does that make any sense?
Well, she's got one, and she's in an office that has other doctors too.
Okay, because there's a second medical energy that's coming into the picture sometime in March.
Okay.
I want to say towards the end of the month. That's that kind of 6-week time frame that feels around that decision point. And so there's going to be some information that you guys get that's going to be a little bit, I don't want to say disconcerting, but here's what frustrates me about it. When I look at it, it feels like a real typical, and I hope I'm not offending anybody when I say this, but sort of typical Western, you know, diagnosis of real black and white. Here's what it looks like, and kind of with no options.
Yes.
And I feel like I want you to take that information, and then I want you to investigate some other things, because it feels to me like there's going to be a way to probably go with that new protocol and incorporate some other aspects into it so that it's not quite so black and white.
Okay.
Your mom's funny, because I get the feeling that she ultimately follows the rules, but she does it definitely with her own, sort of with an argument behind it. And does she sometimes get stubborn and just sort of like almost shut down about stuff?
Yeah, she'll say, you know, I'm not going anywhere. This is where I am, and that's it. I'm not ready to go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the good news. Mm-hmm. Whatever this is that's coming in March, and again, it feels like a second doctor, I think they're really good at what they do, so I think you can take the knowledge that they're bringing and, like I say, incorporate some other things. That feels to me like that sets some really nice energy in motion for your mom. I feel like there's almost and this is amazing, because I got to tell you, when I'm tapping into your mother, she does not feel chronologically 96 to me.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, I would tap her to be maybe early 80s, honestly, energetically speaking.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, her body is how old it is. So,
right.
So it feels like the energy that's coming in over the course of the late spring and early summer, there's just a really nice flow for your mom. I feel like there's a kind of a lifting of some of the concern.
Okay.
And at the same time, does it make any sense to you that your mom is bored?
Yeah, she is. I mean, she does give me some ideas of, you know, let's just go down and sit in the lobby or something, just to get out of the apartment. Because if it's too cold, I can't take her out.
Sure. Yeah, she really is. She's just flat out bored. And let me tell you what, Leo's, holy Christmas. They're, you know, little fireballs. She needs.
They are. She certainly is that.
Yeah, she needs some excitement, and she needs some inspiration. So whatever you can do in that realm, I would encourage you to do. And it feels like as we head into late spring and early summer, there's more opportunities for that, and that's going to help a lot.
Okay.
And whatever this protocol is that's coming in is going to give you an easier way to do some of that. There's going to be some opportunities to get your mom out a little bit more in a way that you haven't had before.
You mean like maybe some help or
that's
something?
That's kind of my sense, or even a place. Have you been considering getting her into an assisted living type of a situation?
Well, she doesn't want a nursing home. She already told me that, and I don't like to see her there either.
Right.
And everything else is very, very expensive.
Right.
To put her in a residence, it's like really paying another New York City rent.
Right.
It's very hard. And I can't have a home health aide here. That's not feasible.
Okay.
So I don't know how that's going to pan out. But is there any way I could ask you about myself? Could I ask a personal question about my life, or do you not have time?
Got a couple of minutes, you bet. Shoot.
Okay. I just want to know from my life and my partnering aspects of a love partner and a dance partner, when you see both of them coming into my life.
So my first question, which is always my first question to anybody that asks me a question, is what are you doing right now to invite those things in?
Okay. For the love partner, I do what I can to socialize through this meetup.com, and I did go to different online dating sites that they weren't too productive.
Okay.
So I try and see it at different events and, you know, just to feel open. And I like being friends and first to get to know someone that feels more comfortable to me in a group setting.
Right.
Now, the dance partner, I am advertised online. I have ads up at 2 studios. My teacher knows I'm looking for a partner, and I do work on my dancing directly.
Cool. So where's God in that picture?
In everything that I just named, because I feel that it's a guidance and direction to do these things,
good.
And I take them.
Good. The main thing that and this is true for anybody, especially around love, because love is the most important thing that any of us can create. No question about it. That is the question that everybody asks me, hands down, as the number one question.
Yes.
God has to be. You want to know who the best dating service of all time is?
Yeah, God Incorporated.
God, absolutely. Yeah. You bet. So place your order, you know. Are you super clear about the kind of partner you want?
Absolutely, in good. Both areas.
Good. All right. So the key right now then is going to be divine timing. You got to allow, you know, the timing to be right on this one. And so if I were to divine a time frame, I'd be willing to bet you money that this is an astrological thing. There's what I call the window opening up for you, probably July, August of this year.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that nothing's going to happen between now and then. It just means that there's a real significant drawing in that happens towards the end of the summer. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is continue to do the things that you're doing.
Okay.
Be really willing to listen to that guidance and listen to your heart. That can be hard to do, especially when we're wanting something like that.
Yes.
We have a tendency, all of us, to get a little bit excited and,
right,
you know, want to make sure we're not missing anything. And so we try on a whole lot of stuff. And if you spread your energy too thin, that can be problematic as well. So really trust your instincts, really trust that. And when we ask for specific guidance, in fact, if you can, try and remember this little saying, or you can go back and listen to this again and write this down. But this is a great specific statement to use when you're asking for guidance. I give thanks that I now have absolute clarity on exactly what I need to do in order to manifest this perfect love.
Yes.
And then you also want to say, and I give thanks that I have the willingness to receive that absolute clarity, because sometimes we get clarity to sit tight and wait. And believe me, none of us want that. You know, we want it yesterday. Thank you very kindly. So especially in the love realm. So be really willing to be asking for that absolute clarity and be hanging back and allowing the timing of this. The fall looks very sweet. My sense is you're probably going to have a couple of people. So one of them, I guarantee, is going to be what I call the decoy. Somebody that pops into the picture that looks like they've got what's on your list. Mm. And they've probably got one or two of the things on your don't list.
Yeah.
And here's what women in particular tend to do. We make the list. We put our feet down. We put our hands on our hips and say, I will never ever compromise again. I'm going to wait till the perfect partner shows up. And then Mr. Fabulous shows up and he's got five of the good things on our 15 lists, 15 item list.
Yeah, but they're not the things you need.
Yeah, and he's got two of the bad things and we go, oh, okay. And we throw the list out the window. We jump on the back of the horse. And 6 weeks later, we're like, why am I in the same situation?
Yes.
So be willing to, as the metaphysician Emmett Wilson said, or Ernest Wilson, excuse me, back in the 1920s, said, we must be willing to let angels go, that archangels may come into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you let go of something good for something great.
Yes.
You got to be willing to not compromise. That comes up really strongly for you.
Okay.
And I think you're in a great place to not compromise. I think you've learned a lot of lessons. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
You
certainly
really have.
Just in very little ways, but enough that I see the difference in people in my own family and the mistakes they made, too.
You bet. Yeah, good for you. So hang in there, girlfriend, because what's coming, by the way, comes up as the Emperor. If you want a man, that is the card to get out of the deck. One of 78, baby. He's your guy. And that's coming up late summer, early fall time. But you're going to determine what that man looks like when he walks through that door. So you keep doing the prayer stuff you're doing and put the angels out there for your mama and let's see what comes in for that. Okay.
Okay. So that's the love partner and the dance partner.
Well, he's going to be wrapped up in the same package from what I can tell.
You see it as the same person?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Talk about the height of romance. You bet, babe.
All right. Thank you again.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All righty. So we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about New Age ideas. And then we're going to talk about the polarity of God. Stay tuned.
with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Back with Sebastian Bach. Axl Rose, excuse me. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Sebastian. Sorry. Got my... That's going to bug me to death. Yes, Axl Rose. Axl Buddy. And did you notice that Axl is a master at taking one-syllable words and turning them into like five syllables? No, yeah. Whoa.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Mm-hmm. I love that guy. All right, so we're back. Want to encourage y'all to jump onto iTunes and subscribe to this show, or get on michellemorgan.org and you can click on the FeedBurner link and download any shows you've missed, and you can send those off to people if you'd like. And then love to see you on my fan page on Facebook or on my Twitter site, and you can get onto, again, michellemorgan.org on the links box on any page, and you can click right on the icons and jump onto that. So let's talk for a second about the New Age. The New Age. Nameless, faceless God. God is everywhere. God is just energy, right? The universe. Well, how the heck can you be intimate with something that you can't wrap your brain around as a human being? The New Age gained strength in the early 80s, really as a rebellion against the structure and judgment of the Judeo-Christian theosophies. And it's interesting because the New Age, in fact, created almost an identical set of spiritual paralysis ideas, such as unreachable perfection and this homogenized PC approach to God. We are God, therefore we don't need God. Well, the longing for divine communion. How does the longing get expressed if we don't need God? Well, I'll tell you. Addictions, depression, etc. It's only when you understand and honor the longing specifically that you can actually express it in a healthy way. And everything we're looking for, I'm not exaggerating, the love of our lives and the new cell phone, everything we're going for has to do with wanting to connect to something that can make us feel, at least for a moment, limitless, something greater than ourselves. And that, in a nutshell, is God. One of the other challenges with the New Age idea is that the unreachable perfection thing, where Christianity goes for, you know, absence of sin and, you know, needing to be perfect in that respect, the New Age does the whole love, light, and bliss thing. You know, if you're doing all the right things spiritually and you are enlightened, quote unquote, then you're always in this state of bliss and you never have a bad moment. You never have a bad thought. Well, here's the truth. This is how the human psyche is wired. we were in Love, Light, and Bliss, we'd be bored, paranoid, off the charts, and gunning for trouble in just under 2 weeks. We would have to create some sort of extreme chaos for our brains to sort of come back into balance, because we would have no concept of that kind of perfection. I heard this terminology a while back, bliss ninnies. These are people who can, you know, quote all the Deepak Chopra and Oprah and everybody else, but they can't balance their checkbooks. You know, what's that about? So bottom line, you really do have to find a way to bring God into this everyday process, into your everyday world. And the best way to do that is to have a love affair with God. Because when you're in love, your partner is in every thought and every breath you take, right? At least that's the way it's supposed to be. So by now, you've all become experts on polarity. I'm telling you, those of you who've been listening to this show, experts, freaking experts. But I'm going to reiterate real quick for anybody who's new on this one. Polarity is the natural spark of energy that occurs between two opposites, masculine and feminine, yin and yang. It's instinctual, it's automatic, and it is hardwired. And polarity, right polarity, creates passion, intimacy, and attraction. It's the one thing that makes the difference between your intimate relationship from every other relationship that you will have in your entire life, is that level of passion. So what better place to start to explore that than with God? So here's the energetic qualities of the masculine: purpose, strength, direction, presence, the provider and protector. Feminine is love, light, support, emotion, the nurturer. Masculine's the rock, feminine's the weather. These are archetypal and symbolic qualities. Carl Jung said the archetypes are self-portraits of the instincts, older than mankind, belonging to the collective unconscious. So, all right, here's how to experience polarity with God. Ladies, feminine core beings, you get to work with God as your ultimate hero. You get to trust him to protect you and provide for you. You get to turn things over to him. You get to relax and find shelter in his power. And I'll tell you something, that's been such an amazing tool for me in the work that I've done over the years with clients. I work predominantly with women, and the majority of my feminine clients have been abused, betrayed, had all sorts of things happen to them in their lives. And so trust is a huge, huge issue, and trust of the masculine in particular. So to learn to trust the ultimate masculine, God is not human, therefore he is the perfect personification of the archetype of the masculine hero. He's not burdened by the human foibles. There is literally no better expression of masculine qualities than that of a loving God, unshakable, omnipotent, willing and able to provide you with everything that your heart desires, to protect and comfort you in the face of every quote-unquote evil. And what we mean by evil, same thing as sin, negativity, fear, pain, etc. And the thing to remember is you're as important to God as he is to you. Women, without your light, your passion, your expression, God's love cannot manifest here on earth, flat out. So you get to feel God's love, and you get to willingly give him yours and know that he'll provide the sacred space for you to work your magic in the world. You get to feel, to express, to create, knowing that you chose to come onto this planet to shine his light and heal the darkness. That's the gift of the feminine in the relationship with God. Now, the feminine can't instinctually trust a feminine deity to provide the same kind of unshakable strength and protection that the masculine provides. I guarantee you some people are going to argue with me on that one, but again, I'm talking about how the human psyche is wired. The feminine is the weather, therefore she's not singular in focus. So we, as women, get to work with the goddess as our sister, our best friend. We get to become her. We get to literally become her. We get to open up to her light, and we get to express it out into the world as the ultimate gift. So that's a pretty delicious way to start to play with God and goddess as a feminine core being. Masculine core beings, men, work with God as your truest king, your most trusted advisor, your most honored and respected leader, a strong and loving mentor and a father figure. Everything your own father's been to you in this life and more, or maybe everything your earthly father wasn't and couldn't be, you get a chance to experience. You get a chance to open up and experience that. And men, you are as important to God as he is to you. Without your strength, direction, and purpose, God's will cannot manifest here on earth. So you get to feel his trust and willingly give him yours. God's going to guide you every step of the way, opening every necessary door, clearing every unnecessary hurdle, and equipping you in every way to face and conquer the edge of each adventure, to slay each and every dragon with nobility and grace. You basically get to be the true champion to the ultimate king. That's a pretty good way to walk in the world. It really is. And the masculine cannot instinctually relate to a feminine deity in the same way that he can a masculine god. The first instinct of the masculine is to protect the feminine, to provide for her. So, man, you get to work with the goddess as your muse, the light of the divine that you also champion. And you get to work to create a safe world for her to be expressed. That's a pretty divine way of walking in the world. So the bottom line here is you always want to check your motives. Remember, if you're doing anything out of fear or resistance, it's not your truth. So be willing to play with your truth. Be willing to try on some different ways of seeing this stuff and really be clear about what your resistance and your fear is. If you view any of the feminine qualities as weak or any of the masculine qualities as macho or controlling, be willing to heal those fears. Man is God in action and woman is God in love. Good stuff. So, it all comes down to one simple truth. God's what we're searching for. Bottom line. And again, no matter how you might resist it, no matter how you might fight it, that's really the deepest longing that we have. And so, it's an amazing opportunity for you to play with the polarity piece and see what you come up with. I would love to hear from people in the next number of weeks, see what you're experiencing with that, see how that's working for you. Because it's absolutely my favorite topic. That being said, if you're local and you want to get even deeper into this subject, check into taking my Living on a Prayer workshop. It is just an amazing month-long experience of exactly what we've talked about today. You can jump on my website, michellemorgan.org, or you can call me at 425-397-7559 and register for that. Come up and see me in LaConnor on the 21st for Can You Believe It? And that one, you got to register at the Salon Rouge, and you can jump on my website and get all the information for that as well. So I've had a great, great time today. Barb, honey, awesome tunage. Trey, awesome.
thank you.
I'm not kidding you.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, having some major flashbacks. I'm gonna have to drive past my old high school or something here.
In a Camaro. You
know? Yeah. Absolutely.
Only if it has flames on the side.
That's right. That is right. Camaros with the flames. So join me next week. Same time, same station. This is Michelle Morgan. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. Have a great week. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.